Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. I'm going to continue speaking today about the second chapter of Acts and what happened in that place when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the aftermath of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And if you were with us last week, if you heard last week's message, you know that I spoke about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was a fulfillment of prophecy that the prophet Joel in the Old Testament had spoken hundreds of years before the event occurred. And so God had planned this from the beginning. He had planned for the Holy Spirit to be dispersed and dispensed amongst the apostles and the disciples, and just as it was prophesied by the prophet Joel, it did happen. It was poured out, and a very exciting thing happened. The people began to speak in tongues. They began to preach the gospel message, and all of the people there at Jerusalem on that day, it was listed 16 different nations that were there that day, and I'm sure there was people from many more nations, and hundreds of thousands of people had gathered there on that day for Pentecost, and they began to hear the gospel message that the apostles were preaching. They began to hear them in their own native tongue. And so they wondered what has happened, what has taken place here. And so Peter in Acts 2, verse 17, he gets up and he begins to explain what the prophet Joel had prophesied. And it says in Acts 2, verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so Peter stood up and spoke that. He said this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so then Peter launched into a sermon, and he began to explain what had taken place in Jerusalem 50 days before at the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He began to explain that to the people there. And so the first point I want to make from the aftermath of the outpouring was that the apostles, Peter included and Peter foremost, you might say, the apostles who had been cowards and running from that which they were afraid of and running from the resurrection scene and scattered after that, they became bold preachers for the gospel. They became outspoken preachers, and they stepped out with boldness and spoke the gospel to those who they were speaking to. And Peter said in verse 22, he stood up after he had explained about the prophecy of the prophet Joel. He stood up and he said, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And so Peter becomes bold. He knows that this is his time to preach. This is his time to speak. And I'm sure on that day, looking back on the crucifixion, he probably thought, wow, I was a coward. I was running for my life. I had denied my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had denied even knowing him. I had nothing to do with him. And he denied three different times that Jesus Christ, anybody that he even knew. And so there was a time then, and Peter was in full denial of Jesus Christ. But come back, he has come back with boldness, he has come back with confidence, and he is not concerned about his own safety as such or his own welfare. And he is boldly proclaiming the gospel. And then he even goes to the point in verse 23, of saying that Jesus Christ was delivered by God with the foreknowledge of God, and he said, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. So he even spoke to those people, and some of them surely were amongst the crowd that day that was crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Surely some of those that Peter was speaking to that very day took part in the crucifixion and urged the Romans to crucify him and to put this Son of God to death. And so it was a very bold thing for Peter to be speaking out and to say to them, this man that you crucified, this man that you hung on the cross, was the Lord and Savior whom God raised up from the dead. Well, in verse 25, Peter quotes a scripture from David, from King David, and he says, concerning him, concerning Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy. And you notice in verse 27 it says, for you will not leave my soul in Hades. This is Jesus speaking to his Father God. You will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And of course we know that Jesus Christ went down to hell, but he was not kept there. He went down to release the captives. It tells us in Ephesians 4, 8 through 11, that he led captivity captive, that he gave gifts to men, and that he led captivity captive, and he went down to hell. He opened up the gates of hell. He descended down into the pits of hell, and he opened up the gates of hell. He took the keys away from the devil, and he opened up those gates, and he let the Old Testament saints out. He redeemed the Old Testament saints. He had purchased them also with his blood on the cross. He had redeemed them, and so he led them up out of captivity, and it said he led captivity captive, and so he took them and he led them up to heaven, and he sat down therefore at the right hand of God. But his soul did not stay in Hades. He said, you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Jesus' body did not lay in the grave, and it was not corrupted. It was resurrected. That he was the first fruits, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:20, that Jesus was the first fruits of all creation given back to the Creator, that he was the first fruit of all of the creation of God. Jesus was the first given back. His resurrected body was given back to the Lord. And he did that as an example to us, to show us that is the way we're going to be resurrected, that our resurrected body will be given back to the Lord. And he also did it to prove that he was the Son of God. He came up out of that grave to prove that death had no power over him. He came out of that grave to prove that he had defeated death, that he was the victor over death, and it had no power over him. Well, as we go on to look at this message that Peter is speaking to the Jews there, he says in verse 31 that David, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. And this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. And so Peter continues to explain that this promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised to the disciples and to the apostles, and he said, go to Jerusalem and wait, stay in Jerusalem and wait for what the Father has promised you, for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter continues to build on that, and Peter continues to teach and to explain that this is what you have seen and what you're hearing happening right now on this day of Pentecost. And then verse 34, Peter goes on, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And so God is speaking to Jesus, his son, in heaven when Jesus had sat down at the right hand of God. The Lord said to my Lord, God said to my Jesus, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And so Peter is proving to those Jews there that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he is the Messiah, that he was the Lord, that he is the Lord. And so Peter goes on in verse 36, and he is going to nail home this message. He's going to drive it home into the hearts through the Holy Spirit. He's going to drive home the message that he has brought to them, that this Jesus Christ that you crucified, this one that you helped to hang on the cross. Yes, maybe these people didn't actually hammer the nails, or they didn't actually dig the hole. Maybe they didn't actually put the whip across Jesus' back, but they helped with their encouragement. They helped with their cries to crucify him. They helped with their belligerent, rebellious attitude to release Barabbas the murderer and to keep Jesus Christ and nail him to the cross. And so Peter is hammering home to them. He is speaking to them the truth of this situation, that this Jesus Christ, the one whom they crucified, this Jesus Christ, who by foreknowledge of God was offered up as a payment for our sin, who was offered up as a sacrifice for your sin and my sin, this Jesus Christ was the one that they had crucified. And he goes on to say in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Well, the Christ means that he was the Messiah. The Lord means that he is the master of their life. And prior to that time, they just looked at him as a lowly carpenter's son, the son of Joseph from Nazareth, and the lowly son to boot, just a carpenter. And now Peter is saying, this one that you hung on the cross, this very one that you hung on the cross, is the Lord and the Christ. Well, that brings to the point of the people's response. They were convicted in their heart. Their Holy Spirit convicted them, just as at some point in time each one of us has been convicted that Jesus Christ is the Lord and he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that came to save us from our sins. And if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would just question to you today, I would ask you today, what is your response? What is your response? If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was actually resurrected, I ask you to start digging into it yourself. Start doing research on the resurrection. Find out for yourself the truth of it. The truth not only of the words, but the actual events. They've been chronicled. They've been many, many eyewitness testimonies and first century Jewish scholars' testimonies. There's more documentation that support the events and circumstances surrounding the events in the first century. There's more documentation for these manuscripts and supporting documentation for these manuscripts than just about any other piece of historical evidence regarding any event in the last 2,000 years. And so I say you can investigate for yourself and see that the resurrection actually happened, that Jesus Christ was actually resurrected from the dead. And just as the Jews there were pricked in their heart, it said they were pierced in their heart, I ask you today, what is your response to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? What is your response? At some point in time, your life here on this earth is going to end. What is going to be your response when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? And will you say, I love you, Jesus. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Master. You are my Messiah. Your precious blood was shed for me. Or will you say, I don't believe any of that. I'm just going to take my chances that nothing happens after death, or even worse, that you don't believe there even is a God, that you don't believe that there is life after death. And I pray if you're listening today and you are listening to this message, that you make the right decision, that you get down on your knees and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you call upon His name and you thank Him for the blood that He shed for your sin. Maybe you think you're a good person. Maybe you think you don't need to have your sins covered. Maybe you don't think you've done anything wrong in your life. There might be a few people out there that think that they're too good, that they're a righteous person, that they live a good moral life, they don't lie, they cheat. But I can guarantee you, every single person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that includes every single person listening to me today. You have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and by your own righteousness, you cannot get into heaven. By your own righteousness, you cannot stand before God and claim your righteousness. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the free gift of salvation, the free gift given to us, is that gift of eternal life paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ, paid for by His death on the cross, paid for, and we owe nothing. We owe nothing. All we have to do is hold our hand out and accept that free gift and say to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord, I repent of my sins. I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I lie, that I cheat, that I steal. I recognize that I have no standing before you in my own righteousness. My own righteousness is as filthy rags before you." And if you will do that today, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I'm going to close here in 2. "And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter continues to preach to them. He continues to speak the gospel message to them. And he said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' And then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Well, you notice it said in verse 41 that those who gladly received his word were baptized. Well, I pray, beloved, that that's you today. I pray that you gladly receive his word. There's some of you out there today listening to me that you need to do business with the Lord. You've never really got down on your knees and repented of your sin, repented of your wicked ways, and some of you need to do that today. You don't know how many days you have left here on this earth. You don't know how many years or months, or even you may not even live out the rest of this day. And yet you take it for granted that you're going to live 85 years or 95 years or whatever you think. But I say to you today, you need to get down on your knees and do business with the Lord if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent, which means to turn 180 degrees, turn from your wicked ways, turn around from that way in which you're going, turn around and go the other way. To repent means that you have godly sorrow, godly sorrow. There's some of you listening today, you've never had godly sorrow. You've never truly been sorry for the fact that you've hurt the heart of Father God, that who loves you so very much. He loves you so very much, and you have never really taken the opportunity to repent and express to God your sorrow for the fact that you have hurt his heart and you have denied his free gift to you. And maybe there's some circumstance in your life, a divorce or a sickness or some traumatic event in your life, you've gotten in trouble with the law or something that is causing you to reflect on your life, and you know you're not what you think you are. You know you're not nearly as great as you think you are. And God is saying to you today, if you are trapped in that circumstance, if you're trapped in bondage and addiction or trapped in unbelief and pride, God is saying to you today, I will receive you just as you are. I will take you into my fold just as you are. And if you'll do that today, if you'll get down on your knees and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to repent and be baptized, God commands us to be baptized. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of willing submission that you identify yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't save you. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved by his death on the cross. But as an act of submission and for the forgiveness of your sins, to show to the world that you identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God asks us to do that. He asks us to repent, which is to speak to the Lord and tell him how sorry you are that you have hurt the heart of Father God. You're not just sorry because maybe your situation is in a mess, or you've lost your family, or you lost your wife, or your children, or your possessions, or whatever, but you have hurt the heart of Father God. You've sinned against heaven, and you've sinned against earth. And when you repent and turn from your wicked ways and follow that up with baptism, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray that's you today. I pray that you call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Well, we're going to take a look at what happened to the newly empowered church of the first century, the newly empowered church of the apostles, and that is an example and a sign for us and a way for us to go forward with the new empowered church of the 21st century. And God is interested in people who gladly receive, and he is interested in people who want to live their life for his kingdom. Well, I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.